What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough, go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum as well as they've got some mints. It has caffeine, L-theanine, and vitamins B6 and 12. Helps with memory and focus. I like to chew it whenever I'm driving around showing houses, whenever I'm making some phone calls, calling my clients, just anytime I feel like I need a little mental boost. You know, if I got a big meeting or whatever it is, anytime I feel like I need to be a little bit mentally sharper, I'll pop a piece of NeuroGum and it usually gets me to where I need to be. So get out there and try some NeuroGum.
Also, shout out to our people over at Captain Beard Co. So they make amazing products for beard care. So beards, butters, balms, butters, and oils. And then also make body wash. I know they're talking about getting into deodorant, but it all smells amazing, made with natural ingredients. And they're getting now into candles. And let's light this bad boy up. Oh, God, that smells amazing.
It smells awesome.
It smells so good.
Yeah, Gabe hooked us up with my favorite scent.
So,
Coastal Drift.
Heck yeah. So go check out their products and use the promo code Zach and Pat for 10% off your purchases.
Yeah. And before we kind of dive into things, guys, I just want to take a second here and thank everybody that has, you know, tuned into the show, shared the show, been a guest on the show. We really appreciate everybody ever tuning into us. And, if we could just ask for one thing, if you're tuning into this, you click that subscribe button for us. We're a newer podcast. There's been lots of growing pains for sure. So we're kind of figuring it out as we go here. So if you could, help us out, like this video or like this episode, and then also hit that subscribe button for us, that would help us out a ton. So
and also share with a friend, somebody that you feel like would get something out of it. Please feel free to share it with them.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, man. How are things?
Things are things, man. A lot of new beginnings and endings to chapters that, wasn't really, I knew it would come, but I didn't know that I didn't think it would happen this quick. So selling the house and, moving into an apartment now and then trying to decide what I want to do next, like buy land and just put like an Airstream on there and then like maybe Airbnb that out and have the apartment still and then have the land with the Airstream or some sort of something on the property. I mean, eventually I've always wanted land with a barn dominium on it. So maybe just get that land and start off with an Airstream for now. And then eventually down the road, build a barn dominium. Per the divorce, I want to stay within a certain distance of each other. Land on an Airstream ain't probably not ideal for two kids.
No, probably not. But yeah, I feel like that's
I mean, on a
go.
Weekend, on a weekend,
yeah,
be, they
you
would
take
love
the
it.
Boys out yeah. there. You can even turn it into like a camping thing
right.
too, or
yep.
It could be a fun. Man, it'd be so fun.
Yeah.
But like, if you buy once you have that land,
yeah,
you have it,
right?
And, no one's making any more of it.
No.
And, just make sure it's in a good location that you like, and
right.
I love it. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. So it's kind of what I'm torn between right now. But yeah, I mean. This is really, we've talked about the mentality of things, and this is one of those times, where you put your ego and your pride in check. I've got this pride built up around this house that, I had built. I worked my ass off to get to that point where I have this house built and raising my kids in this house, and then the relationships with the neighbors. I mean, can't choose your neighbors, but fuck did I get lucky, man. My neighbors, for the most part, are amazing. Amazing people. And it sucks, leaving that area and having that camaraderie that we had. Obviously I'm not moving very far, just 5 minutes down the road, but to be able to just like the boys just go outside, run outside, run into my neighbor's house that has a bunch of kids and just know that they're going to welcome them. But at the same time, new experience, moving into apartment, potential for a lot of new clients.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make friends with people. Obviously I'm going to go in there and make the most of it and make friends with people and use that time to, like I said, really, cut back on a lot of things, reevaluate some stuff, and move forward better and stronger. So it's a strange time, exciting yet bittersweet. You know, it is what it is, and I'm excited to take this new step, start this new chapter, and moving forward.
Yeah, dude, it's so exciting.
Yeah,
yeah, just new stuff for you.
All sorts of new things.
Yeah. Well, today we wanted to go over, you know, I'm a big fan of Chris Williamson and his podcast, and every week he comes out with a good newsletter. You know, we've done a lot of episodes with James Clear and his 3-2-1 newsletter, and I thought we'd kind of do the same thing with this one because he had one that came out on Monday, and I really like a lot of this, and the whole thing's based on 10 pieces of advice for anyone going through a tough time. So, you know, he's just got several things here, and we're just going to kind of go through them and just kind of chat about it. So, first one, life will not be like this forever. Nothing is permanent, good or bad. When you're on top of the world, it won't last for as long as you hope. When the world is on top of you, it won't last as long as you fear. You feel like a sleepy balloon right now. Soon enough, it will just be a memory of something you've got through. It's just one day, one activity, one thought at a time. Keep plotting.
Yeah, I mean, kind of ties into what I was just saying about starting a new chapter. Yeah. You know, things, you know, when you're on the top of the mountain and things can be great, and that fall from that can be pretty tough. And you got to learn the ebbs and flows, especially in real estate.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to take it.
It's like a roller coaster, man. And so, yeah, just sitting there thinking about, you know, can't use the lows as learning experiences. And then the highs, obviously, you know, you want to maintain that and continue to get there and strive for higher peaks. But yeah, I mean, you know, don't let the downtimes really get you down. And the bad times, I mean, or the good times, they can be fleeting. It doesn't last long. So it's a very good point.
Yeah, no, I love it. We, you know, like you said, with real estate, it's like I always say, this business is like peaks and valleys. There's times where things are really, really good and you feel like you're on top of the world and you just closed a big deal and you just got a new buyer under contract and just signed a big listing and you're feeling awesome. And then all of a sudden you find out, you know, one of your really good friends, you know, bought a house and they didn't even, you know, they didn't use you you find out that someone else snuck and took a deal right from under you. Yep. Or a deal falls apart. Like we had a deal that was supposed to close tomorrow, you know, just fell apart. You know, it's just, there's shit that like this, that, it's not going to last forever, but not, you know, it's not all work stuff too. I mean, this totally relates to, you know, life and you know, stuff with kids. At least I think about it. You know, Gina sent me something the other day that was, it was like, hey, you know, know that, you know, the boys are not going to be, you know, little like this forever. We're only going to have, you know, these memories that we're making with them, all the, you know, the messes in the house and the, you know, the argumentative 2-year-old and the, this, you're only, you know, you only get to do that once with them. Like, remember that, because it's not going to be forever, you know, because soon enough in a couple of years, he's going to be going to kindergarten. And then from there, he's going to go to middle, you know, grade school and middle school. And like, I'm going to wish that, you know, he was this 2.5-year-old psychopath running around making a mess, you know, whipping around on his scooter, just wanting to be argument, you know, just constantly fighting with us on things. Right. And, you know, it's just, you know, you just know that it's not going to be like that forever and got to enjoy it and kind of just take that time, you know, I've been really trying to focus on like just taking a second and like whenever I'm doing anything with the kids, like, and just kind of like realizing like, oh man, this, and like just taking in the moment. Mm-hmm. And really for me, that's having to put my phone elsewhere and like really focus on the boys and like really think about what it is that's going on right now. And like, man, this isn't forever.
So, right.
Yeah, that's a good one. So,
well, being a few years ahead of you with kids, I mean, yeah, like every year, it's like, it just goes by faster and faster and faster. And it's just like Connor, he's in kindergarten now, and you know, there's still things that they do that it's just like, all right, I'm going to let them do that because it's not going to last anymore. Like, I just posted a picture the other day from a photo shoot that I did with the kids, and it's one of those where like, I'm down and they come, they run. They're
fucking adorable.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite pictures. And, I'm just like, soon it's going to be flip-flopped. The next photo shoot I could be doing with them is me running at them yelling, "Hey, yeah. Connor Oliver." Like, and they're like,
"Get away.
Who the hell is this crazy dude?"
"Dad, leave us alone."
Yeah. "Leave me alone." "Oh, it's
get
already,
out of my room."
"It's already started." Like, really? I'm like, "Dude, let's hang out." He goes, "No, I don't want to." I'm like, "Oh, fuck. That sucks." Oh man.
Mine already does that to me, but it's just because he wants his mom.
Right. Well, that's, well, that's the thing is like, "Hey, man, you want to go outside and play?" "No, I'm all right. I'm good." I'm like, "Buddy, you always want to go outside and play." I'm just not feeling it today. I'm like, "Oh, that's fine. If that's what you know, by all means." You know, Oliver's still at that age where he comes, dad, let's go do this. Or like, he likes to cuddle. So like, "Dad, can we cuddle? Like, hey, what, can we go watch a movie? I want to watch a movie with you." And I'm like, "Yeah, sure. We'll go sit on the couch and he'll just cuddle up right next to me." That's awesome. I know that's not going to last forever because Connor's 15 months older and he's already not wanting to do it. And I'm like, fuck. But I can still pick their asses up and I can just pick them up and I'm like, "Nope.
Squeeze you. Yep. You're hugging me back until I put you down."
Exactly. So, I mean, and that's and you know, obviously divorce sucks because I only get the kids half the time. But the one thing that it has done is that moment, that picture that I have, because it is 2 days on, 2 days off, that I'm still getting that. Like, I still get that every time I see him. They're like, dad. Like, that's the best feeling in the world. So, but.
Yeah, I think I saw a Jordan Peterson quote once that was like, you know, you've only got little kids for 4 years.
Right.
You know, like, they're really only, like, little kids for 4 years, you know. And Connor's five,
and you have 18 summers.
Yeah.
18 summers with him. And then, like, the magic of Christmas or things like that, like maybe 6 or 7
before they're not believing in Santa anymore. Yeah, this year it'll be the first, you know, this will be like kind of the first Christmas where I think he gets it. Santa's coming, you know, because last year he didn't really, you know, I mean, obviously, "Oh, that's Santa Claus," but I don't think he like understood. Now he's like, now that I think he'll get it, the fact that Santa's coming, chimney, the presents under the tree.
I almost fucked that up one.
Really?
So yeah, it's actually because with the move, the Santa outfit's in my car.
Oh.
Yeah. So I had it in a drawer, you know, low level drawer. No one ever goes in and all that. Sure as shit, they get in it and they see it and they're like, "Dad, are you Santa?" I'm like, "No, guys, I'm not Santa." "Well, why is Santa's costume in your closet?" And I was just like, "Well," I was like, "there's Santa's busy. There's a lot. And sometimes he reaches out and asks for help. And so sometimes, he sent me this costume so I can help him out, you know, and help spread cheer. But I'm not Santa. I'm one of his helpers." And so quick recovery.
Yeah, man, that would have been a tough phone call to Melissa. Like, "Hey, I fucked up."
Whoops.
Oops. Sorry. Oh man. All right, we can go on to the next one here. Ooh, I love this one. Mundane successes are big wins. Success may previously have been this grand, impressive occasion that occurs in front of other people as fanfare or accolade. Today you went for a walk, or were kind of that person at the supermarket, or were gentle to yourself when you became frustrated. Is this as outwardly magnificent as your life's greatest achievement? No. But some days you feel like you're lifting on Mars, and other days you feel like you're lifting on Jupiter. Today is a Jupiter day. Gravity is heavier than usual right now, so well done for carrying that weight. Boring victories achieve no fanfare, but they are even more meaningful. Yeah, I love that.
It's great.
You know, just that it's kind of what we talked about with Brian last episode, and you know, the success is in those mundane, you know, simple shit that you just do over and over and over again.
Yeah, because they can lead to the bigger, the greater achievements that he's talking about.
Well, it's like, you know, it's the simple shit like you do in your daily non-negotiables. It's the shit that you just do every day, no matter what. I'm doing the shit. It's making the calls. I'm doing the thing. And, you know, it's just that shit compounding over time. And, you know, just every day you're trying to build that mountain out of layers of paint. Every day you're just throwing down another layer, a little bit more every single day.
Yep.
And, you know, it's in some days, you know, that paintbrush is heavier than others.
Yeah.
And in other days you pick it up and do it no problem. You know, there's some days we're going to the gym or whatever it is, you know, I'm pumped to go. Like, I can't wait to get there. But then there's other days, like, I really don't feel like going in there and getting my fucking ass kicked by Trevor today.
Right.
But, like, I better do it because I got this big match coming up, you know, or whatever it is. So that's a good one.
Yeah, very, very good one. Next one. Go easy on yourself. You're going to feel frustrated or resentful or anxious or scared or whatever. It's fine. That's going to happen. You're safe. Let it move through you. But you must try to avoid second order emotions, feeling agitated and being anxious, or feeling agitated at being anxious or ashamed about being so resentful, and then feeling bored at your agitation about your anxiousness or guilty about your shame at your resentments. If you had a child growing or if you had a child going through what you are, you wouldn't chastise them. You'd pick them up and hug them. So hug yourself.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, something similar to that the other day. It's like, man, I'm really hard on myself a lot. I, you know, I had that match recently. I lost, and I beat myself up about it for a couple of days. And like, man, when was the last time I did something that I was like super, super proud of? And like, really, like, because I just don't have the tendency to like celebrate anything that I ever do. You know, I'm like, all right, what's next? I just did this. All right, close this deal. On to the next one. What's the next thing? You know, we won this, we did this, we moved on. You know, it's like, all right, what's the next thing? It's like, I never really sit back and smell the roses. And, you know, I think that's, you know, I think some of that, I think that's a good thing for the most part, but like, I think some of, you know, I think I should sit back and smell the roses a little bit more than I do. I definitely like, I'm really hard on myself a lot.
Yeah. And but it's like, we're always our biggest critics, our toughest critics is ourselves.
Yeah.
The one thing, a lot of my life lessons I learned through baseball, and that's one of the greatest things that I learned from baseball is having a short-term memory, because you fail so much in baseball. And if you sit there and dwell on those failures, you're never going to be able to move forward. You know, I remember in high school, I was getting recruited pretty heavily, and I remember pitching down at Arkansas, and I can't remember college it was, but I was 17 pitching against an 18U team. This 18U team had, I want to say, like four or five guys get drafted off of it. They were insanely good. And I got fucking rocked, absolutely shelled. I mean, I think I gave up like five or six home, like I think I gave up four home runs and like six runs total in like three innings. Fucking shelled. And but the thing was, is like, I had more scouts come up and talk to me after that game, and one team offered me mainly because they're like, yeah, you didn't let those home runs get to you. You just went back out there and you went right back at the next guy. Sure, that guy might have hit a home run, but you went back out there and went right back at the next guy. And I think that's one of the greatest lessons that baseball taught me, was like, you move past those failures. You move past those things that are bringing you down, because you can't move forward if you don't. And if you get angry with them, it's only going to amplify what's going on. So you have to sit back and be like, all right, I made a mistake there. Fuck it. Move on. I know that I can make this next pitch. And there was time I gave back up, thinking about it, I gave up back-to-back home runs. And so pitch, made a mistake, came back. And it was like two or three pitches later, another fucking home run. And, you know, it's just like, all right, fuck it. Let's go and execute. And so I think, you know, baseball, a lot of things like has taught me with baseball, like, hey, yeah, shit's going to be tough. Shit's going to go wrong. But if you sit there and dwell on it, you're not going to be, you're fucked the rest of the game. You just have to sit there and move on and do your best to remember, hey, I've made this pitch 1,000 times. I'm going to make it 1,000. So it's easy to fall into that. And I have to, like with work, I have to remember that, because there's times like, hey, I'll lose a deal. Like, I know that I'm not for every client, and there's times where I'm not going to have the best rate or the lowest fees. And that's fine. I get that. But I try, I do my best not to sit there and dwell on that. And then you almost use it as like motivation to go get the next one.
Next one. You do not need to offer the world anything. Okay, you don't feel as impressive as usual right now. Does it feel like the world is about to abandon you because you can't give it something in return? You did not enter some trade with the reality you were when you were. You did not enter into some trade with reality when you were born, or only being accepted for as long as you can provide value as recompense. Maybe your jokes are less funny, and your stories are less original, and your aura is less energizing. But when you're going, when you're not going to be abandoned, your friends will want to help. You need nothing in return. And if you have friends who only want to be around you, you're entertaining them. Those aren't friends. Those are patrons.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think that I agree and kind of disagree with this. So you don't need to offer the world anything. I mean, I think you need to offer the world kindness. Like, you definitely, like, there's certain things that you do, like, maybe not the world, but yourself. And if, for me personally, I feel like if, like, cause I've been there. I've been through this, these highs and these lows, and especially a lot within the last 2 years, you know, divorce and different relationships and things like that. And then the business and all that stuff. But the one thing that you can offer to the world is kindness. And I think that's something that a lot of people forget about. I mean, we talked about that on the last podcast, is like, just be kind to people. I mean, we're all in this. I mean, why be miserable with it? And if you can sit back and just think about, you know, who you are as a person, obviously that can, you can forget that at sometimes, but I feel like if you have a strong why and you can go back to that why, you can help get yourself out of anything.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. How I feel about this one.
Yeah, there's, I mean, there's some, like I said, there's certain things, yeah, will hit. This one for me just isn't one of those.
Yeah, I just, I think it's really the last line, I feel like is what, you know, what I feel like I'm focusing on more than anything. If you have friends that only want to be around you, if you're entertaining them, those aren't friends, those are patrons.
No, for sure.
I feel like that's what I kind of holding on to here, but you know, because I think of some people that I'm, you know, I'm still friends with, and like I would never say that these guys aren't my friends, but I feel like I just don't vibe on the same level as they. Different interests, we have different, you know, things going on in our lives. Our lives are very different. What they want to do for fun and what I want to do for fun are very different things. Mm-hmm. And you know, I just feel like I've distanced myself from a lot of those guys, and not like I've tried to, like, I've never, like, oh, I'm not friends with you anymore. Never been that. It's just like, I just feel like we have different things going on, different goals and different aspirations. We're interested in very different things. It's just like, I have a lot of friends that are just, you know, kind of stuck in like the college days, it seems, where they just, you know, want to do nothing but drink and party and try to figure out what they're, you know, just, they just want to get fucked up. It's like not what I'm super into anymore. Like, I rarely drink anymore. And I do, it's not nearly as much, and I'm not, it's just not something I find fulfilling.
Yeah, I think, I mean, honestly, I think it just goes to like how you define friend, the term friend. You know, for me, it's who can I count on? And obviously, like, goes back to the saying, you know, if you only want me when I'm at my best, or if you can't have me at my, if you can't handle me at my worst, you can't have me at my best, type thing, which, in a lot of situations, yeah, that makes sense. You know, having gone through it, you know, where you see it in pro ball with, you know, family members who only reach out to them because they're playing professional baseball. And then as soon as they're done with them. You know, like a friend is someone that's going to be there through everything. And no matter what type of situation you're in, they're going to be there. And, you know, if they're only wanting the good times, I think that's kind of what he's trying to say there, is if they're only wanting the good out of you, but they don't want the bad, is that really a friend? Yeah. I mean, I understand what you're saying in terms of, you know, being in different places and wanting different things and still being friends with those people. Yeah, I totally get that. I just think what he's trying to say, maybe on a little bit of a deeper level, is this is more like, hey, if you've only got those people that really want, that are only using you for your good and they don't want anything to do with you when you're down, then those are the people that aren't really truly your friends. Cause I'm sure those people that you're talking about, even if you were down or in a rough spot, they would still be there for you.
I think so.
Yeah. So those are still friends.
For sure. No, yeah. 100%. Yeah. They're still my friends. It's just, I feel like I just have noticed that over like the last like 5-6 years. I feel like I've just like my whole friend group has kind of changed. I've noticed, you know, I mean, I'm right. a really good friend, you know, a lot of people, you, Murph, all these other people that I've, you know, a lot of my jiu-jitsu friends mm-hmm. have just, things have changed, you know, and it's just, I think that's, but it's also part of growing older too.
Right.
I think you grow apart, you know, you grow apart from your high school, college, your whatever, you know, whatever that part of your life was, you know, things change. People have kids, people don't have kids. Like that's, I feel like that's a big thing too. You know, that's a, it's another thing.
My kids will definitely change things.
For sure.
So. Next is judge yourself on your actions, not your thoughts. You felt bad and yet you still did the thing. Getting the job done in spite of not being in the mood is more impressive, not less. Stop discounting what you did just because you didn't feel like doing it. But shit. I think I feel like we talk about that on like every episode. You know,
yeah.
Do the shit you don't want to
do the thing.
Yeah, do it. You know, and yeah, it may not be your best workout, but hell, you fucking made it there, and that's a win.
It's a win. Getting out of the car. Yeah.
I just think people in general, I don't want to speak for everyone here, but they lose sight of that. Like just showing up can be a win. And whether it was good performance, bad performance, it's, you're there and it can still be construed as a win. Every opportunity is a learning experience. And, you know, if you're going in and you're having a bad day, why don't you learn like what was it? Or you're bad, you know, you don't want to go to the gym and you have a bad day at the gym. Why did you have a bad day at the gym? So
I think one of the things is here is like judging yourself on your thought. You know, if you're judging yourself on your thoughts just because you thought you lost because you didn't want to go in, you know, like,
right.
It's just like, no, dude, did the thing. Right. Fucking, you won.
Right.
Doesn't matter what you think. It's what you do.
Right.
You know, just because I think I want to kill this guy doesn't matter if I'm not going to get arrested for it. If I just think about it,
right.
You know, but if I actually go murder the guy, then I'm going to, you know, then
right.
That's a completely different thing.
All right. And like going back to your tournament. Yeah. You lost in that match, but I mean, you were there, you showed up, you put the hours and the training in, and you know, your thoughts after the match were, like you said, you were beating yourself up about it. But
right. Then I met up with, you know, I was training the next day, you know, and I was kind of beating myself up about it. But then one of my buddies like let me know. He's like, dude, you know how much better you got in this last like 6 weeks when you're getting ready for this? Like you're fucking, you're doing things to me that you're never, you know, that you've never done to me before. You know, like all these things. He's like, dude, you definitely, you may have lost the match, but you leveled up when you did this. Mm-hmm. So it's like, and that's one thing I love about competing. I feel like almost every time I do it, I feel like I just get just a little bit better. You know, like every single time, like every tournament, every match I've ever done, like anytime I've like, this is like, you have this goal. Like, and you're just like so focused on it. Like right now, you know, I'm training for this CXBJJ match. And like, I'm so focused on this thing, man. I really, really want to win this one. And, you know, and I'm going for, I'm kind of got a more different game plan than my normal. And so I'm kind of working on something that I'm not definitely is not my A game. And I know that this is going to be a great opportunity, win or lose. Like I'm going to get way better at this thing. I'm not going to talk about it on here because I don't want to make it public knowledge about what my game plan is, but it's a, you know, I'm very focused on it. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to get better at this sequence of things. And, yeah, so I'm looking forward.
It's awesome. All right. Number 6, allow yourself to become a priority. You have to believe that your needs are important. Usually you subjugate your desires and put everything else ahead of you. Stop fixing everyone before yourself. For once, advocating for what you need is not selfish or narcissistic. It's just alien to you. Put yourself first.
Dude, I, this week has been a game changer for me. Honestly, I've been talking about it for a while, but like this week I'm finally putting my money where my mouth is and, going to bed earlier. I've been really like the last night I went a little bit later than the couple nights before, but I've been waking up, you know, an hour before the boys wake up and getting that morning routine dialed in again. And it is, I was telling Gina, it's just like, it's changed changing. It just changes my day whenever I have that hour to myself and I'm waking up and being proactive versus reactive, because I would normally wake up and then it's just fucking chaos. You know, I've just got the two babies, got to get them fed, get diapers changed, get the, you know, get the bottles, get the, do the thing, make them breakfast, do all the thing. And then I'm just focused on them right away. And, but having this hour to myself in the morning where I, you know, my little morning routine, it's nothing special. It's wake up, I read 10 pages, I do my 10 minute meditation, and then I journal for 10 minutes. Usually takes me about 45 ish minutes to do that, 45, 50 minutes to knock that out. And, just, man, I've done it for the last 4 days in a row now, and I'm just feeling so much better. And I'm waking up and I'm feeling like I'm excited to get the boys out of bed, you know, like versus before, I was like, oh God, I just want to sleep. I just want to lay here. I want to do this. And now I'm like waking up. I'm like, man, I'm feeling energized. I'm ready to go. Like, feel good. I've got like some motivation. I got some of my thoughts on paper. I've learned something. I feel calm. I just feel great. And that's just really changed in the last 4 days. And so I'm like, man, I was doing this for a while, but like ever since Calvin's been born, you know, 2.5 years, I basically fell off of this morning routine. And, but I was doing it like a religion before, and it just always made me feel so good. And I'm happy to be finally getting back to that. I don't know why it took me so long. It was really just because I was just being too much of a bitch about waking up.
Yeah.
And, or really going to bed earlier and then waking up earlier. Going to bed earlier and waking up earlier. I was just didn't want to do that for some reason. I had this like, oh, I like to stay up and have this time to myself at night. But then I'm just like, and then it just turns into me watching an extra 30, 40 minutes of TV after Gina goes to bed, and then me falling asleep on the couch and then walking up to bed 2 hours later in the middle of the night. And then it just like fucks up all my sleep. So yeah, I've been doing that. That's just, I feel like this is, you know, what he says here, you know, you need to put your needs before other people's. And it's okay. Well, I mean, I can't exactly, I got to put my kids' needs first, of course, but if they're sleeping, I can get my shit done. So this is a time where I can start my day out where it needs to be and start the day and make it, just guarantee that making it a great day.
Yeah. It's almost like that, oxygen mask on an airplane. You know? They always tell you to put yours on first before you start helping someone else. Yeah.
Same thing.
So ask for help. Yes, you don't usually need anyone. Maybe you don't need anyone now either, but it will be easier if you ask for help. Allow yourself to become a burden. Maybe your friends actually want to help you. Maybe they would love the opportunity to take care of for you. Consider for a second that it's actually noble to not always be the super strong, competent person who's never got any vulnerabilities. That's a good one.
That's a really good one, man. I have a hard time. I have a hard time asking for help with things. Like I'm just the natural, like macho fucking, no, I can do this. I can figure this out. I can do this. I don't need anybody, you know. It's like, yeah, things are so much easier if you, especially like when it comes to the world of like real estate and, like rehabbing houses and stuff. Like that's one thing is you got to realize can I watch a YouTube video and figure out a way to fix something? Sure, I could. And I could probably do it. And it's probably going to be take me 3 times as long and probably look half as good as a professional or calling someone who actually knows what they're doing. But, you know, you have that macho-ness inside, like, oh, I can do it. And then it just, I've just learned lately that asking for help is something we need to do. Can't do everything by ourselves.
Oh, 100% agree. And that was probably one of the biggest lessons that I've learned with the divorce. You know, you go from being a team to a solo person. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you learn about yourself in that journey of being alone. And, you know, one of those things is, hey, it's okay to ask for help. And, you know, whether it was like helping around the house, like paying somebody to come in, or cutting the grass or asking the neighbors, hey, can you help me with this? Or can you help me with that? Like we have a lot on our plates, and you know, it's okay. You know, it's one of those things that I've gotten much more comfortable with. And, like I said, like it talks about being vulnerable. I think that it does it. It shows another side to a person and when they're able to ask for help. I think it strengthens relationships. I think it can be, I don't know, it for me, I think that's probably one of the biggest things that I've learned over the last couple of years is being able to ask for help and not be ashamed to ask for help, because I was that same way. Like I said, it was more of like a pride thing, ego thing. And, you know, a lot of it is just putting that aside, and being able to be comfortable with it. And fuck, at first it was very uncomfortable to ask somebody for help, but now it's like not making it a habit, but I'm not as uncomfortable if I need something, but like, hey man, can I get some help with this?
Yeah. So. Number 8, don't worry about not feeling grateful. Things will happen. Some good. It'll be hard to fully feel appreciation for them. Your daily experience is swimming in melancholy. Everything is tough as it is. As it is. Don't make yourself feel worse for not being happier about the little things in life right now. You would have if you could.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, everything's not always going to be sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah.
You know, you can try and put a positive spin on it, but if you're not actually you're trying to fake it till you make it, like, I don't know if that's going to be helpful or not.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the whole fake it till you make it works for some things.
Right.
You know, like I always say with real estate, you know, especially when you're first starting out, you know, it's going to be some faking it till you make it. You know, like, you're going to be this, when you're a brand new agent, you haven't done a whole lot of deals. And, you know, at least I was always kind of relying on the experience of the guy that was, you know, training me and teaching me. I was kind of propping him up, and because I didn't have anything to prop myself up on, I was, you know, kind of putting myself on his act, you know, kind of riding his coattails essentially. And it's not always going to be. Yeah. So, I mean, but there are some things that I guess. Yeah.
Obviously, you know, we talk about trying to look at the positive in a lot of things, as learning experiences and things like that. But, you know, you don't always have to be grateful for that learning experience. Like, you know,
sometimes you got to take your licks.
Yeah. Like my first time going to jiu-jitsu in the upper level classes, getting kicked in the face during an arm bar. Like, I wasn't grateful for that.
Yeah.
That's not something that I'm going to be grateful for. But I mean, there's going to be those times, and it's okay to not, like I said, it's okay not to be okay. And, you know, it's part of growing. It's part of maturing. It's part of becoming the person that you are, and understanding that to help you move forward. You make your most progress when things are hard. Oh, fuck. How many times have we talked about that?
Yeah.
Look back. Every big period of progress in your life has germinated from your lowest points. In retrospect, would you have avoided them if you could? Probably not. Yes, it sucks, but right now will be a gift for your future self. Tough times stop you from relying on momentum or bravado, like going on a hard cut that melts away all the fat. Low points remind you who you truly are underneath. That's awesome. That's really good.
I like that.
That might be the best way to put everything that we kind of talked about.
No, it's great. Yeah, if I look back at anything if I look at things that I am super proud of, you know, like I said a few of these slides ago, that, you know, it's hard for me to sometimes be happy with things that I've done. And if I look back at the things that I am most proud of, it's like the shit, the really hard shit that I got through. You know, I look back at the time I spent in the restaurant when I was working at the barbecue place. And, you know, some of the hardest times was trying to get that shit up and running and learning that, and just being the man there, you know, having 36 employees trying to run this barbecue restaurant in a really busy area, and just the growing pains of a brand new restaurant. And, you know, man, it was something I was really proud of that we did. And, but it was tough. I mean, I was working, you know, 70, 80 hours a week, and I was miserable. But like, I look back on that time as, you know, I don't look at it as necessarily like a failure. I was actually journaling about this morning. I don't look at it as a failure. I look at it as, I mean, it was a, you know, the restaurant didn't make it. I ended up leaving before it closed down. But I was just a really tough time. But man, I learned so much. I really did. I learned a lot about myself. I learned about we did the construction for the restaurant for the 9 months leading up to it. I was there every single day, you know, dug the trenches for all the plumbing. I mean, we ripped up 3 layers of floor. Me and my little cousin framed the entire restaurant out. Like, we did, I did so much stuff that I'd never done before. And I learned so much. And, but like looking back on it now, it's like, I feel like I just grew so much as a person in those like 2 years, you know, cause that's when I left college early or not. You know, I graduated on time, but like I was planning on going 5 years just cause I wanted to hang out with all my friends. I was one of two people in my class, my class of my guys in my fraternity. Cause that was kind of who I hung out with, that they graduated on time. Everybody else was staying down there for another year or two. And man, that's what I wanted to do. That's what all my friends were doing. But like, I had this cool opportunity to go open up a restaurant, and you know, I thought it was going to be the end all be all, and I ended up not working out. I didn't know that at the time, but you know, I made that sacrifice. And man, I, at the time I was like, what am I doing? I'm missing all this. I'm missing these times to make these memories with all my friends, but like, I'm going to have this awesome business, and it's going to be part of my, you know, partially it's going to be me, and going to be something, you know, it was something that I was super proud of, but like, man, those times were hard. And then I look at times like, you know, with starting in real estate, and those were some fucking hard times. You know, in the middle of COVID, I'm making cold calls to a bunch of people that don't want to talk to me, or I'm holding open houses and people don't want to come near you because you're, you know, because of COVID and all these things. You know, I got told no thousands of times, and ended up kind of eventually making business out of it. And you know, things ended up becoming profitable, and I ended up, you know, here I am 5 years later, still doing the damn thing. And jujitsu, first fucking 2 years, you're the nail. You know? But I look at the hardest, the times that were where I got my ass kicked the most, I definitely like grew the most. And I always say, like, when everything shut down in COVID, me and there was a small core group of us, about 10 guys, and we got together at either my house in my garage. I had mats in my garage, and I also had my other buddy, Nate. He had mats in his basement, and I was like the only white belt, and I was training with all these guys that were like high level blue belts and purple belts. That's all. Those are the only guys I trained with for like 4 or 5 months straight. And I just got my shit pushed in for fucking, you know, 3 or 4 months. But then when I went back to Watson's and I was rolling with other white belts at the time, I was like, oh man, but way better than this guy. You know, like I just completely leveled up. But that was, I remember just, you just don't know that you're leveling up when you're in it. Mm-hmm. You don't know that you're kind of, cause you're just, you can't see anything else and you don't know anything else until you get around other people that weren't going through that. And then you're like, oh shit, well, look what I can do. Awesome.
I'm just thinking about how much more proud of yourself you'll be when you get through those hard times and do those hard things. And it just makes, and the more that you do them, the easier those things become. You know, for me, it was obviously talked about a lot. The divorce was tough going through that, big learning experience, but you know, Melissa and I both, you know, that was hard for us. You know, we talked about it, but we're better now. And the relationship that we have now is better than it was during that time. So, as hard as that was, we used that to springboard into something even better. Yeah, we may not be married, which is fine. We're good together for about 3 days before we want to kill each other, which is fine, you know, but we learned that. Like we've learned from that really hard time, and great things have come from that. You know, that's one of the things, like, I mean, I'm excited about with selling this house. Like, it's hard for me to sell this house. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I'm proud of this house. I worked hard for this house. I raised my kids in this house. I've got great relationships, and it's hard, really hard to leave that. And, you know, but at the same time, like, I'm excited to see what trajectory this is going to put me on, or how can I use this to springboard into something better? And yeah, it's, I mean, I always think back to like when I was younger, my dad, if I didn't make it, like, hockey was my sport. So if I didn't make a hockey team that I thought I should make, and I would just, like, hey, that was hard, but I would go through and come back and be better for it afterwards. And then the next year I was no doubt better and made the team that I thought I should make. So, yeah, I mean, getting released from baseball, fuck, talk about being hard. You've spent every minute of your life since the time you were 8 years old playing this game, and to have someone tell you that you're done. I mean, I didn't handle it the best. I went and drank a bottle of bourbon and was not, you know, was really low. And you see it with a lot of guys that get out of baseball. They have a hard time. They struggle. And
your identity.
Right. And you're just like, well, what do I do now? And after the hangover wore off and I could think clearly and, you know, it was like, I'm going to be okay. Like, this is tough, but guess what? New adventure, new chapter, time to move on. I know that as long as I can take my work ethic that I've learned, that I've developed over the years and everything like that, that I can apply it to whatever I want and I'm going to be successful at it. And so that's what I did. Here I am, you know, 10 years now. And I believe it's been 10 years since I last played in a professional baseball game, but 10 years now, and I've been able to build a good business, book a business doing this, have my kids, married, divorced, sold a couple houses, all that stuff. Yeah. So it's just like better things came from that hard time. So I'm excited to see what this hard time is going to produce moving forward.
Last one, number 10, you are not falling behind. You have this vague sense that you're falling behind if you're not always making progress. This is a lie. There's no arbitrary minimum level of productivity to meet every day in order to feel worthwhile. Even Olympians get injured and take time off. Even the best performing stocks have pullbacks. Expand your time horizon. Look at your year on your growth, not your intraday price. Your progress has been great. You were overdue for a small correction anyway. You're still in there. This fucking speaks right to me, man. Because I'm constantly feeling, that's the thing about this real estate business is you're always looking for your next deal. And it's like, if you have a, you know, you have a time where you're like, oh man, I feel like I haven't, last couple of days, phone hasn't been ringing or this hasn't been happening. And you're like, am I falling behind? Have people forgotten that I'm a real estate agent? Or everybody forgot about me? And it's like, you go through this like constant like worry. There's always like this worry that like you're never going to do a deal again, kind of. But like, I know it's bullshit, but like you always kind of, it's always in the back of your head for some fucking reason, at least mine. I always have to like kind of talk myself off the ledge. Like, no, fine. Good. This is good. You have 3 deals closing next couple weeks. Like, you have a lot of things, good things going, like, just because you didn't like, it's always on like when I have a week, and it's pretty rare, but whenever I have a week, like this past weekend, for instance, like I had a pretty slow weekend for me. Like, I think I only showed like 2 houses all weekend. It was like pretty small, pretty slow for me. And which was great. I got to spend a ton of time with my family and hang out. But then I'm like, at the end of the weekend, I'm like, did I relax too much? Did I not do anything? I didn't do anything. Sunday, I didn't do anything. I didn't do any work. Like, fuck, what's, you know, cause it's weird if I have a day that goes by that I don't do anything. And like, I feel guilty and I feel like I'm falling behind and I'm like, okay, what, there's other agents that are doing more than me right now. And their business, they probably got someone under contract today. They probably signed a listing today and I didn't do shit. I'm sitting here on the couch. I did nothing. And I fucking have to like talk myself down constantly and make shit just stressful.
I get it. And, you know, we're always saying if you're not growing, you're dying. But this quote, or this, I mean, it's good to take off time, like do things in small doses. Like, it's not like, oh, just take a year off.
Right.
Like that, I mean, that's not, it's okay to take a break. I mean, I've done it, you know, shoot. Oh, let's look at baseball. That's what I like to talk about and what I know. I mean, you play the minor leagues, you play 142 games. And from April 1st through the middle of September, so April, May, June, July, August, so that's what, 105 times 30, it's 150 plus 15 days, well, 2 weeks into September, so you're playing 142 games in like 160 days. And so, like, you have to take that time off at the end of the season. If not, you're going to burn out or get hurt. And so, that was the thing is they told us, they're like, you are not allowed to do anything until this date, nothing. And you just get away, you have fun, you relax, you do all this stuff. I tell my players this, our season's 2 months long and, you know, and we start up fall ball, and I'm just like, take all of August, take the rest of July and all of August off. Don't do anything. The rest, because rest is a part of growth. You know, it's part of it, but it's when you come back from it, or if you never do come back from it, that's where you can fall into a trap. But it's, this is great, but you can't let this linger on for more than a certain amount of time before then it becomes detrimental.
Right.
So, I think
the key to this is the expanding the time horizon, mm-hmm. and like looking at it at the year as a whole, not just today.
Right. Oh, I 100% agree with that. Like, you're not going to win. You know, we got a lot of people that we follow, and they're like, win the day. You win enough days and you're going to win the week, and you're going to win the week and win enough weeks, you win the month. You win enough months, you win the year. Like,
win enough years, you win the life.
Yeah. You know, and that's all well and good. But at the same time, like, I don't think it's possible to be on every single day. And I mean, and if you are, wow, good for you.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I just don't know. I guess that's what makes those superstars like Jordan, Kobe, who they are.
Yeah.
They were on all the time, but not everybody is that. You know, that's why there's only been a Kobe and a Michael.
Right.
You know, yeah, you can't. It's, and I'm sure even that they took days and times and
yeah, they
stuff
took,
off.
I'm sure they took vacations yeah. and, you know, I mean, I was telling Gina the other day, I was like, man, I was feeling like really burnt out about a week or two ago, you know, just things just crazy, you know, everything with podcasts and work and the boys and all these things. It's just like, because we didn't go on a vacation this year because Theo was born in the middle of the summer and I want to take a brand new baby on a cross-country vacation or do any of these things. So I was just like, man, I would love to just find we should just go get away for a weekend, you know, go find like a, you know, somewhere a couple hour drive and
Herman,
just yeah.
check out Nick's new
yeah.
motel.
Honestly, that's a good idea. But I was like, man, we should just go get away for a couple days and just like go, you know, get off the grid and, you know, kind of just take a small little couple day vacation and just kind of reset, you know, before she goes back to work. And, yeah. So, but I just feel like, I think that would be good. And I think
that would be
needed.
A perfect time. Oktoberfest in Herman.
Yeah. A good idea. Yeah. I'll bring that up to her when we go upstairs.
Welcome, Gina.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah. I think that was really good shit. I feel like I just went through like a therapy session
right?
or something.
Yeah, no, he's awesome. I love the content and stuff that he's creating and putting out there.
It's so good,
it's amazing.
I definitely ride his nuts a little hard. I know you know that, but I mean,
if there's one person to do it, that's a good person to do it with.
Definitely, big fan of a lot of his stuff. So,
oh yeah,
but, well. Yeah, I guess that'll call it for the day.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for tuning in. If you could, make sure you hit that like button down below. Click the subscribe button if you're not already subscribed. Comment what you guys thought below, and we will see you next time.